Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah 11. We've been going through a series in the book of Isaiah and looking at passages that look ahead to the coming of Christ. And so we're going to do that again tonight. Can anybody tell me what Christmas is? I forgot. Anybody? Do you know what it is, Laurel? Jesus' birth. And what do we normally do on Christmas Day to celebrate? I heard somebody said they do chores. You guys gonna do chores in the morning? Wake up, scrub the floors. I saw one mom nodding yes. What are you gonna do? Open presents. One present?
No.
You hope not, right? Somebody's banking on there being a lot of presents out there, right? You know, when Christmas comes around, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and God has given us the gift of his son. And so it's appropriate that we give gifts. It's a way to reflect what he's done for us. And we know Christmas, it's a fun time. Usually parents and grandparents and friends, we like to lavish gifts on it. So it just builds this expectation of what Christmas morning is going to be like, right? Nobody's thinking about doing chores on Christmas morning, right? I'm thinking about big fat cinnamon rolls, homemade from mom. I'm thinking about all kinds of goodies that we don't normally eat. We're going to eat those, and then we're going to sit around the tree. We're going to open presents and have a great time. We've done that in the past, and there's just an anticipation that we're going to do that in the future, right? Maybe you have a game that you're excited about, that you're anticipating giving. All kinds of anticipation comes in with Christmas. I started thinking back when I was little. One of the gifts that I most look forward to was called Fireball Island. I've actually got a picture of it here. Doesn't that look cool? I mean, it's this game, and there's these fireballs shooting out of this thing, and you know, you got people like dodging fireballs and running across bridges to try and escape them, and these rivers and all kinds of stuff. I was so excited about getting this game, and I knew my parents had got it for me, and so I was just looking forward to it, and I had all kinds of anticipation what it was going to be like. My friends were going to think I'm the coolest because I got this awesome game. And then this is it. That's the game. Like, where are the fireballs? Where's all the excitement? You know, we got it. It's just this game and this little wooden thing that you roll a marble out of it. We played it a couple times. Nobody could quite understand it. Like, we put it back in the box, and I left the box out so everybody could see how cool it was. And then they'd ask to play it, and I was like, no, we don't have time for that. We have different things that we anticipate, we look forward to. We have different expectations. You know, when we haven't quite reached something, you know, we anticipate it. Anticipating is looking forward to something. Well, sometimes in life, presents and Christmas, it might let you down a little bit. But one of the things that will not let us down is the coming of a Savior. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We're looking at the book of Isaiah. This book, it was written about 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus came. And Isaiah is looking ahead to what Jesus is going to do, who he's going to be, and what he's going to accomplish for us. He's anticipating the coming of Christ. Just as you're anticipating Christmas tomorrow, just as we anticipate the second coming of Christ, Isaiah was anticipating his coming. And so we're going to look at chapter 11. We're going to read this. And again, we've been in the book of Isaiah talking about how God had, and some of the scriptures that were read a little while ago, there's a promise of a king coming, but God's people have rebelled against him, and God has brought judgment, but even in that, he is bringing hope. So we're going to read this passage and then talk about it. So, verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. That's the word of the Lord. So I want to go through and look at a couple things that Christmas reminds us that we should be excited about these things. We should be excited about what God has done for us, and we should be excited about what Christmas reminds us that he's done and he's going to continue to do. So the first thing to look at is that Christmas reminds us that we get to anticipate the grace of God. Isn't that amazing to think about? That you get to anticipate God being gracious to you. You know, God called us to obey him. He called us to follow him. Anybody ever messed up with that? Anybody messed up this week? Today? Last 5 minutes? We all mess up with that. And it's just amazing that we get to anticipate the grace of God. God is gracious to us. It means he treats us better than we deserve. I heard someone say it like this: you are worse off than you think you are, but you are more loved than you can ever imagine. You're worse off than you think you are, but you are more loved than you can imagine. Christmas points to the grace of God and the love that we experience in Jesus. You know, here we see this, the word stump is used to refer to the house of Jesse. You know, earlier we had a scripture reading about God promising King David, you're going to have a son and he is going to reign forever. So they followed the line of David real closely to see, hey, who's this promised one going to be? But here, the family tree of David has been reduced to a stump. It's not good, right? Family tree, you guys think of family tree like this? Well, remember we talked about the people, they all disobey God. And so God said, hey, if you do that, bad things are going to happen. So the tree got cut down. This is what it looks like. There's a stump. It's been cut down. It's dying, right? It's dead. But what is God saying is going to happen here to that stump? What's going to come out of it? A what? A what? A shoot. A tree. That's right, Deacon. A tree. It's going to come back. Next one, there's a shoot. That's what it looks like. It's been cut down, but God's going to bring it back. I did that this summer. There were a couple bushes in my yard that just got way too big. And me and a neighbor were like, we got to cut those things down. So we cut them down, and then we're like, what are we going to plant next? I don't know. And we started talking about it, and they started coming back, went out, and there was a new shoot, a new growth. That reminds us of the grace of God, right? I mean, he could have just said, you know what, guys, I'm done with you. I'm not even going to mess with you. You keep getting into trouble. He brings justice, but he also brings grace. He's restoring his people. He's bringing them back. And so we see that in this passage that the stump of Jesse, that was David's father, the stump of Jesse, it's been cut down, but it's coming back. There's a shoot. God is gracious to his people. Reminds us that Jesus didn't come because we got it all right. He came because we messed up. He came because we blew it. He came because God is gracious. He's gracious to me. He's gracious to you. You know, sometimes maybe you do something wrong and you're like, oh man, I hope Dad doesn't find out that I did that. I hope he doesn't find out that I actually accidentally spilt the paint in the garage and it's all over the place. And you're so worried about that. You're like, man, he's going to be so mad. And then you tell your dad, and he doesn't get angry. He says, that's okay, son. That happens all the time, right? Doesn't always happen with dad, but when dad does respond that way, he's being gracious. God is gracious to us. When we say, I'm sorry, we can experience his forgiveness. We can experience his forgiveness because Jesus, he was born. He lived a perfect life. And then what did he do on the cross? What happened? He died on the cross. And he died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross for your sins. We experience God's grace through Jesus. We see his grace that brings this child into the world. And we see this grace in that Jesus will be obedient to God in everything. And he'll take our place. He'll die so that we can be set free. And that means that we can have new beginnings. Sometimes we mess up in life and we're like, oh man, I really messed up. In Jesus, we get do-overs. In Jesus, we can come back and say, I'm sorry. I've messed up. God, will you forgive me? That's the good news of the gospel, that we can be forgiven of all of our sin. A second thing that Christmas points to, second thing that we anticipate, is a spirit-filled king. Isn't that cool to think about? A spirit-filled king. I have these verses. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's who this child is going to be. Full of the Spirit of God. He knows how to handle things, right? You know, sometimes you hear people say things like, man, I don't know what to do. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be on him. He's going to know how to do things. And he's going to do them the right way. You know, sometimes we'll talk about how when you fill something, that's what comes out of it, right? So if I fill your stocking with candy canes, and then I go and shake that, what's going to come out of it? Candy cane. If I fill your stocking with coal, what's going to come out of it? Coal. If I fill it with sugar, you think we'll get chalk out of it? No. Filled it with sugar, sugar's going to come out of it, right? Whatever you fill something with, that's what comes out of it. You know, we can see that in our lives. You know, if all you do is watch the news, you're probably going to be full. In the news, it's all about what's gone wrong. Anxiety, worry, fear, all that. What's probably going to come out of you? Fear, anxiety, worry, all those things that I've been overflowing with. Anybody else feel like they're just kind of coming out these days? You know, it's like you just see what's going on and it comes out of you. You know, sometimes maybe you watch a good movie and you're encouraged, you're uplifted, you share that with others. Maybe you watch a movie, maybe they said some things that weren't appropriate. We watched Elf the other day and there's some things, it's like, no, you can't say that, you know? You watched it, you took it in, it comes out. It's a reminder, we want to fill ourselves with the Word of God, right? We want to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. We want to take time just to pause and be with God. Jesus is full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God rests on him. And what's so neat is that Isaiah is looking forward to the coming of this king. This king who's full of the Spirit of God and overflows with the Spirit of God. You know, think about some of the bosses you've had. Maybe there's some negative examples. They weren't always filled with the Spirit, you know. And sometimes it was difficult being around them. Maybe you didn't like how they handled things. Maybe it was just a hard environment. And then you think about this king, that the Spirit of the Lord rests on him. There's a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding. There's a spirit of counsel. There's a spirit of power. That's someone that you want to be around. That's someone that you like being around. And that's one of the things that as Isaiah talks about this coming king, the thing that binds people to him is that they want to be there with him. When you see this, you can't help but, man, I want to be around that. I want to be like that. It's amazing to think about this. This is what the king is going to be, and it's what he is going to do. God's Spirit comes on people to enable them to do what he calls them to do and to do it in a way that he calls them to do it. That Spirit is resting on Jesus. He is full of the Spirit of God. It's so neat to think about that. You know, when you read the New Testament, you read about his birth and the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. From birth, Jesus was full of the Spirit. We see the Spirit resting on him throughout his life. That's the Savior that we look forward to. That's the King that we await. It's awesome to be around someone like that. It's awesome to have a boss that's like that, or a friend that's like that, a dad that's like that, and that is the Savior that we look to. We anticipate a King who is full of the Spirit of God, not one who's full of anger, not one who's full of wrath, one who's full of the Spirit of God and is doing things as God calls him to do. A third thing that we see is that we anticipate the restoration of the world. The world gets restored. You know what? I had a friend one time, and he had an antique chest in his living room. And it was from a family member he loved. He was so excited about this. And so his kids were playing. They had a bunch of friends over, and they said, "Hey, guys, you can play in here. Just don't scratch the chest." What did they do? They scratched the chest, like all down the side. He couldn't even figure out how they did it. They scratched the chest, messed it up. So he could have thrown it away, right? It's just, I'm done with it. But it was a pure wood chest. So you know what he did? He took it and had it restored. They sanded it down, refinished it, and it looked good as new. He restored it to its original condition. He restored it to what it was supposed to be like. We see God doing that with the world. That's promised here. Do we have this passage on the screen? Next passage. Yeah, look at what it says. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. Cow and bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down. Go down to verse 9. It says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the whole earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Isn't that cool to think about? The things that describe the coming King, it describes the whole earth. The whole earth is full of the knowledge of God. There's no more hurting in his holy hill. The whole earth is his holy place. So there's no more hurting, right? Your brother's not going to accidentally hit you in the face. There's going to be none of that. Our kids this week, they came and they said, "Hey, Dad, can we run down the street? We want to go to the bamboo forest. It's about 3/4 of a mile away." And me and Amanda, we just had to talk it over. It's like, "Hey, do we let them do that?" It's like, "I don't think so. It's not safe. You know, it's a little too far for them." And just to think about in the new heavens, Jesus is coming. He's going to reign in perfect knowledge, and he is going to reign over a new world. Isn't that awesome to think about? Parents, you're not going to be able to say, "Hey, you know, worried about you going out there. Look at this. Kids are, they're out, they're riding on the back of a wolf." Anybody ever ridden on the back of a wolf? Kids, next time you're out playing, your mom says, "Hey, guys, what are you doing?" Just said, "Hey, found a wolf. I'm riding on his back. We found a rattlesnake pit. I'm just sticking my hands in there to try and feed it something." The whole earth is going to be different. There's no more pain, there's no more death, there's no more dying. You can run and play and do whatever you want. That goes for kids, that goes for the big kids as well, right? I mean, you think about going to work and some of the stuff you put up with. It's going to be different. God completely changes the whole world, completely changes it. We can anticipate a restoration. God is reconciling sinners back to himself, and he's preparing a place for them as well. A place that his Spirit is going to dwell. You know, so sometimes Christmas, we're always excited. Christmas is always great, but it's not quite what we anticipated. You know, we're making plans, and this year, just COVID and sickness and all that, people are getting sick, and it's like, oh man, we may not see this person or that person. There's a bit of disappointment with it. But with what God is doing, this new world, there's going to be no more COVID, right? There's going to be no more sickness. I mean, when you try and think about how good it's going to be, you can't even think about how great it's going to be. Scripture says, no mind has conceived, no eye has seen what God has prepared for us. We can't even think about how good it's going to be. That's what God is doing for us. And so the other thing that we can anticipate peace with God. Because of Jesus, because of his birth, Because that we anticipate the grace of God, because we anticipate a spirit-filled king, because we anticipate a new world, we can have peace now. We have peace because God has brought his Savior into the world. And as we look out and we see all the craziness that may be going on, sometimes we see the craziness in our own lives, in our own families. We see the craziness on the news and other places. We can find peace because we're not looking to those things for our hope. We're not looking to the news for security. We're looking to God. We're looking to this child who was born in a manger, and his coming was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before. He's the fulfillment of the promises that God made to his people to redeem them and to save them. We look to him. That's what we rest in. That's what we want to fill our hearts and minds with, what God is doing in him. We see so many things messed up. Sometimes we start to feel out of control. I was reading an article about anxiety in Christmas time. It says we start to experience anxiety when we start to realize things are not in our control. We know things aren't in our control. We know whose hands they are in. It's the Lord, and we want to rest in him. And we can rest in him because we know. We see what he's done. We see what he's promised. You know, Isaiah is talking about these things. He's talking about their coming. And he's talking about the coming of Jesus. You know, we look, we see his first coming. We anticipate his second coming. Isaiah is looking forward to seeing this whole thing complete. It's like Isaiah is looking at a mountain range, and he just sees the whole range of mountains. Sometimes we experience that. We'll see a mountain, and we go there, and then we realize it's a 30-minute drive to the other mountain. It's a long ways off. Isaiah is looking at the whole thing coming. When Jesus' work is complete, when it's all done. And that's one of the things that we anticipate at Christmas. We see his coming, but we also know that he's going to come a second time. And that's when he's going to make the world right. He's going to restore it. There's going to be nothing imperfect or impure in it. And that also means we have to wrestle with, have we truly rested in him? Have we rested in him to take away our impurities? Have we rested in him to take away our sin, to qualify us to be in that new world? Because it's only in him that we can have our sins taken away. It's only in him that we can rest in him. And when you rest in him, you can have peace, even in the craziest moments of this world. Isaiah was talking to a people that were in darkness, a dark time of their nation being conquered. All kinds of problems going on, and he's saying you can have peace. There's a wonderful counselor. There's a mighty God. There's a Prince of Peace who's coming. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate that this year. Let's pray and just thank God for what he's done for us, and also just pray that he would move in our hearts. Father, we thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. We thank you for what he's done and the gift of life that is in him, that we can be forgiven. We can experience newness of life. We can experience the greatest present ever given. We thank you for that. And we pray that you would just open our eyes. Help us to see what you've done for us. God, I just pray, even now, I just want to encourage you, maybe if you're at a place where you've not been following Jesus, I want to encourage you just to pray right now. Respond to that. Confess your sin, confess turning away from him, and just pray and ask him to help you follow him with all your heart. And just pray to make Jesus number one in your life. Just want to encourage you to do that. Lord, I just pray this Christmas season we would all be strengthened in our faith, strengthened in our hope, and the peace that we have in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.